Well, hello, dear friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to spend the morning with you. Open up the Word of God, see what He would say to us. Let Him encourage us and strengthen our faith and send us on our day right. Yeah, that's what we like. We like to start our day right. And so thanks for joining with me today. I want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners from literally around the world watching on the Pioneer channel, through Spotify, through Instagram, X, wherever else, TikTok, all the places that are places. Thanks for being on with us today. If you are watching on a platform that you can comment, like, share, please do so. We call that being a digital missionary. Help us spread the gospel by sharing this broadcast. If it blessed you and you enjoy it, there's a high chance it'll bless somebody else. And so, do that. And that will help us out, help us continue to build this online community, and it'll be good. So we started off in something yesterday that I don't know. I felt like God was moving big time through these airwaves and talking to us about breaking out of complacency and learning and understanding that the weight of whether or not we see a move of God in the earth today is completely tied to whether or whatever or not we do or don't do in this generation, in our day, that a lack of a move of God in a generation isn't a result of God's unwanting to do that. It's a result of the people on the earth not bringing the sacrifice, because fire always falls on an altar of sacrifice. And I think we have a church today who is so attached to comfort and attached to, themselves, so to speak, and riding them on the cruise ship of comfort, that we have lost the understanding that we are here for a purpose and here for a reason. And that purpose and reason is not to build the most comfortable life that we can and make it as easy as for ourselves as we can, but is to enforce the kingdom of God here on earth until either God calls us out of here, or through death into everlasting life, or the rapture takes us out of here. But that's our purpose and that's our mission. So yesterday we just kind of dove into that, and I want to talk to us a little bit more about that today, because I think this is just not even so much a series of messages, but a clarion call for the church at large to understand the weight that is on our backs. And we are responsible for what God is going to do or what He doesn't do in this generation. And we got to step up and do our part. What I've discovered is that a move of God is not just about divine power. It's about divine placement. Say that again. Not just about divine power, but about divine placement. That you were born into this moment on purpose and for purpose. Today, we're going to look a little bit at the life of Esther and discover through her life that we are not here by accident, right? Do you ever look at your life and wonder, why now? Why was I born into this generation? Why do I live in this city? Why am I in this job, this church, this family? Often I think we overemphasize the draw to be in the will of God. Talked about this a few weeks ago on the lies, but I believe that unless God specifically told you to do something and you said no, right? That I believe right now in this moment, you are in the will of God. You are where you are supposed to be. You are in the job you're supposed to be in. You're in the church you're supposed to be in. You're in the city you're supposed to be in. right? And I believe is that God is strategic in all of his doing. And I think that God didn't just save us, but he stationed us. He put us into a place. He stationed us where he needs us to be to enforce the kingdom of God in that realm of life, in that city, in that church, in that community, in that workplace. And I think that's what the story of Esther is. It's really a story of a woman who was positioned at the right time. And so when we look at Esther, man, we can fall so short if we look at this as, oh, this beautiful fairy tale that of this woman who was selected to be queen and she helped her people. But I believe it's more than a fairy tale. It's a blueprint of how God works through ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. It's a blueprint for how God will take the common person and position them into a place to make uncommon impact. That he will use the simple to confound the wise. That you are the very thing that your city has been waiting on. You are what your job has been waiting on. You are the voice that your church and your family have been waiting to hear. You are. Why? It's a blueprint for how God works through ordinary people and does extraordinary things. A little bit, just if you're new or not familiar with Esther's story, she was a Jewish orphan. She was raised by her cousin Mordecai. Now, I got to give you a little funny story here. If you attend Hope City Church or you followed my teachings for any period of time, you know that I make up words left and right. And I don't mean to do it. Sometimes I think my mind works faster than my mouth works. So sometimes I'm already in my mind on to like my next thought, but my mouth is still saying my last one. And then somewhere in the mix, I make up words. And sometimes I just pronounce them wrong because I pronounce them wrong. So for the longest time, I pronounced Mordecai. I don't know where I got that. I don't know where I heard it from, but it was probably, I've been pastoring for 21 years, but it was probably just a few months ago after I was teaching along this story or referenced it. And Sarah came after church and she said, who's Mordecai? I said, well, that was Esther's. And no, she said, you mean Mordecai? And we belly laughed. And it goes back to when we were dating, I was preaching. And I, you know, the graham crackers, I don't know why. We always called them in our house Graham crackers. I do not know where it came from. I don't know how it happened. But I'm preaching and I, for some reason, mentioned graham crackers, and I even now I have to think about it because it's so wired through me to say Graham. And I said Graham crackers, and after church she said, I don't know if this is going to work out between us. Joking. But I don't know if I can marry a man who calls them Graham crackers. So I don't know if it's a regional thing. I probably not, because I hear other people mention them and it's always graham crackers. So anyway, every time I go to say Mordecai, I kind of have to pause mentally and say Mordecai has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible, but just to let you know, if you hear some made up words, I apologize in advance. But anyway, so Esther was a Jewish orphan raised by her cousin Mordecai, who was the king of Persia, rejected by his, who rejected his former queen and held what I don't know, we could only describe as an ancient version of The Bachelor, right? The outcome of that is Esther is selected as queen, but nobody knows that she's Jewish. Meanwhile, a man named Haman, a government official, devises a plan to eliminate the Jewish people. And what's powerful or strategic about this is, again, Jesus would be coming through the Jewish people. So it was a plot of the enemy to stop our salvation, right? Not just to eliminate the Jews, but to eliminate the birth of Jesus. And so suddenly Esther finds herself in the palace, in the place of privilege, with a decision to make. Will she risk it all to save her people? And I want to read to you from Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 13. And Mordecai is speaking to her, and he says to her, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all your other Jews." And he says to her, "Listen, for if you keep silent at this time," I love this, "relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." I love these words from Mordecai to Esther. And what's interesting here is I don't believe that Mordecai was necessarily guilting Esther. He was giving her a way out and saying, "Listen, if you don't want to do this, God is God, and he'll raise up a deliverer from another way. You will suffer because you didn't do what the mantle that God put on you to do. No, but he'll raise up a deliverer. Don't you worry about it." But I think what he was not so much as guilting in her as he was awakening her. He was saying, "Listen, Esther, this moment didn't surprise God. Listen, you're not just a pretty face, you're a prophetic plan. Come on, I'm prophesying that to some of you this morning. You're not just a pretty face. You're part of a prophetic plan. God has positioned you and put you right where he wants you, right where he needs you, as a part of his strategic prophetic plan to accomplish in the earth what he wants. And he needs you. He needs me. He needs ministries like the Pioneer Channel. He needs us in this time to carry the weight and the mantle of the burden that we are called to carry, to move forward in all that God's called us to. You're not just a pretty face. You might be looking in the mirror saying, "I don't see it," but listen, prophesy, you're not just a pretty face. You're part of a prophetic plan. You've been blessed for a reason, for a purpose, so that you can be a blessing. The blessing on your life is strategic. It's not so that we can hoard up on this side of heaven and say, "Look at all my fancy toys and my wealth." It's so that we can be strategic, because God says, "I need you to be blessed in this season. I need you to walk in abundance. I need you to walk in prosperity, because I'm positioning you to be a blessing so that I can accomplish in the earth what it is that I need to accomplish." Listen, God is not random. God places people in positions of influence to affect the outcome of a generation. That's all through your Bible. Listen, Joseph in Pharaoh's court. It was Daniel in Babylon. It was Esther in Persia. And it's you in your job and in your church and in your city. Listen, he doesn't want to just bless you. He wants to use you. And he positions you right where you are. Right now, you are where God has you. Last week, we talked about learning to find the treasure hidden in the field. Right? If God has you in the field, then there must be treasure somewhere. God has you in that job you can't stand. It must be because he's calling you to be a prophetic voice and a light. If he has you in that church, come on, it's because you are to be there to pray and to push that church through to see revival. He doesn't want to just bless you. He wants to use you. But here's the temptation that I think we all face, and that's to stay silent. Mordecai said to Esther, "If you remain silent at this time," we often default to silence because we feel, I don't know, disqualified. We feel afraid to lose what we have. We feel afraid of rejection. What if they don't like us? What if I become an outcast? What if someone else is more equipped and I make up words and say Mordecai and Graham, right? There's more eloquent speakers. There's more educated people. But silence in the face of darkness is not neutrality. It's surrender to the darkness. God's not looking for more polished Christians. He needs more obedient Christians. You know, Jesus said, listen, they are going to persecute me. They're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. And, you know, I heard that John Chris, that comedian, talking about, you know, how his he went into his sister's house or whatever. And, you know, it was an upper class home. He described it, I think, as a mansion or whatever. And, you know, in her home, she had a picture that said pressed down. Persecuted, but not, you know, not forsaken. And just as, you know, like here she is living in this upper middle class life in her mansion and, you know, thinking that she has any idea what persecution is. But often I think, you know, we like, oh, you know, Satan's really buffeting me. I think we don't even know what persecution is, and we're not really being persecuted against because most people don't even know that we're believers to dislike us because we don't show our faith. And we think because the car broke down, we're being persecuted against. And there's very little to no difference between us and the world. And we're so afraid of being rejected by the in-group at our job. Like, right, it's still high school politics. What if they know I'm a Jesus freak and a Jesus follower? What if they know I'm about that Bible stuff? Yeah, they might reject you now. But what if, you know, when they come to the end of themselves, and they don't know where to turn. Maybe if they had known you were a Jesus follower, when they come to the ends of themselves, they would say, you know what? Maybe the Spirit of God could direct them to you. Esther had access. Esther had favor. Esther had comfort. She had wealth. She had influence. But listen, with every blessing comes responsibility. Mordecai wasn't saying that these were bad things to have. He was saying, use them for good. Every blessing is a responsibility. Luke 12:48 teaches us that to whom much is given, much will be required. Have you been given influence? Have you been given relationships? Have you been given financial resources? Have you been given a testimony? You are called to steward all of those things well for the kingdom of God. Your influence, you are to steward it well. You're not just a manager because of a gift set. You are given the gift set to become a manager, to steward that influence, to impact the kingdom of God. You've been given relationships in your life. You are called to steward those relationships well. Well, you know, I don't talk to them anymore. It was a one-sided relationship. Great. It's a one-sided relationship because you're called to steward that relationship. Why? Because that relationship is about you having impact into that life, into what that person represents, into whatever is on the other side of that relationship for the kingdom of God. You've been blessed financially. Why? To steward those finances to impact the kingdom of God. Your testimony, how are you stewarding what God brought you out of? Well, that's my private testimony. That's not your private testimony. That's the platform that God brought you out of to stand on and to scream and declare the works of God in this generation. Come on. The question is, will you leverage it for the kingdom of God? The problem is many of us become dull while we're in the palace. We get used to the comfort and the position and the influence and being pampered and a life of ease that we become dull. We forget why we were ever called to begin with. Esther had to be reminded of her true identity. More than being a queen, you're a Jew. More than position, you're called as a child of God. Sometimes comfort can make us forget our calling. Prosperity can cause us to have apathy spiritually. You saying prosperity is bad? No. Prosperity leveraged right can help aid the kingdom of God moving forward. So don't ever confuse ease with favor. And don't ever confuse hardship with a lack of favor. Don't let the palace dull your prophetic edge. Realize you are called for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. You are where you are because God has anointed you and you only. Only you can bring the anointing that's on your life. Only you can do what God has put the mantle on you to do. What flows to you must flow through you. We've often said that you are not called to be a dam. You are called to be a river. That what's in you comes out of you. That what's on you is released through you. Why John 7 says, come on, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Mordecai told Esther, this blessing isn't just for you. It's for others through you. So are you hoarding the blessing? Are you consumed? Or are you consuming what God intended you to channel? Are you becoming spiritually bloated, if you will, instead of spiritually bold? And often we disqualify ourselves. This is one of the enemy's favorite lies. You don't have enough. Someone else should do it. But listen, God never asked Esther to become someone else. He simply asked her to obey. He simply asked her to show up. He simply asked her to use what she had in her hand. Think of Moses. Like Moses had a speech impediment problem, right? He didn't ask him to be something that he wasn't. He said, Moses, I just need you to be obedient. I'll send someone to help you talk. When they approached the Red Sea, he said, Moses, I don't need you to be something that you're not. I don't need you to be a magician. I just need you to hold out what's in your hand. Use what I've given you. Hold the staff out and watch what I'll do through what I've given you. And they saw the ocean part. God's not asking you to be something that you're not. He's asking you to do what was assigned to you to do. He's asking you to be faithful in your own placement. I'm just here to remind you today, you were born for this. Esther had a choice, and so do you, so do I. And I'm convinced today, we've been talking all this week about seeing a move of God, about seeing revival, about, you know, bearing the weight of the call that's on our generation. But listen, revival isn't coming to people watching the clock. It's coming to people who understand the moment, like the sons of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons. Let your comfort become a catalyst and not a crutch. You were born for such a time as this. Your family is waiting on you. Your neighborhood is waiting. Your church, we're waiting on you. The nation is waiting on you to step up, use the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the call. You might say, well, I don't know. I'll never be on TV. I'll never preach the gospel. It don't matter. Somebody preached the gospel to Billy Graham. Somebody, some Sunday school teacher. And now listen, I'm certainly not saying I'm a worldwide known evangelist. But every day we get onto the Pioneer Network and we preach the gospel to the four corners of the world. But there was a Sunday school teacher when I was 8 years old who stood on a Saturday kids program. And come on, we've held kids programs at our church. I understand the weight. I understand we don't always feel like it with these snotty-nosed, bratty kids coming in to get candy, get hyped up, run around for some prizes, and get sent home. But somebody did the work. Somebody held the program, and I remember being 8 years old, and they had an altar call, and I remember they said, you're not going to heaven because your mom and dad are going to heaven. You need to accept it for yourself, and I remember those words coming like lightning into my heart, and I knew that I had to receive Jesus, and here I am preaching. Every day, we get letters and emails from people who have experienced life change as a result of this ministry. As a result of my yes, but as a result of that Sunday school teacher planning and getting up And I never forget, it was a Western theme and getting hay bales. And I remember we made shirts, getting the supplies and doing all of it so that the gospel could be presented and I could hear. My mama received the gospel, and I was raised, thankfully, in a home that taught Christianity and taught the Bible, that helped me become the believer I am. Because somebody, a lady by the name of Sandy McCarver, she may be watching today, was sitting on her porch step praying as she watched my mom walk back and forth for days, until one day God said, tell her about Jesus, and didn't just tell her about Jesus, but mentored her in the faith in the midst of the Jesus movement. And my upbringing is a result of her obedience. What I'm saying is, no, maybe we're not all going to step up and become Billy Grahams or have worldwide TV ministries or, you know, I don't know what God has. Maybe you will. But what you are called to do has kingdom impact. You don't know what your grandchildren are going to do in their life. You don't know that person that God's been putting on your heart to share your faith with. He's not looking for polished believers. He's just looking for obedient ones. Listen, you are not here by accident. You are placed by God. Do not remain silent. God wants to use your influence, your time, and your resource for the kingdom in such a time as this. I always tell people who are new to our church, and you know, we're talking about giving and the principles of tithing. Oh, well, I don't believe in that. Well, you certainly reap the benefits of it. Why? Because someone came before them and sacrificially gave for the chairs that they're sitting in. I was there. I remember believing God and raising the funds for those chairs, people giving sacrificially. I remember when we needed the speakers that preached the gospel that person just received Christ the week before it. And somebody gave sacrificially so that they could hang there. Somebody gave sacrificially so we could carpet the floor and build the building and keep the lights on and pay the staff and do all that we do to keep the kingdom of God. And they partook of it. And now God's saying, you benefited from being in the room and hearing the gospel. And now I'm calling you to give ahead so that somebody else can hear. And oftentimes people say, no, no, no. Don't just be a receiver, be a giver. And of course, if you want to give into Pioneer Television Network, we'd love to have you. You can text the word partner to the number on your screen, 717-500-3575. We have some big things that God is putting in front of us right now that we, in ourselves, we cannot do. There's satellite networks I'm talking to today about getting on. And I can't even imagine how we would pay for it. But maybe God's been putting on your heart, hey, become a partner with that ministry. And if it's not with us, whatever sphere, I'm not one of those preachers saying, well, you can only give to us. We'd love for you to. But whatever sphere God's called you to give in. Now, your tithe belongs to your local church, 100%. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's the place you're receiving bread. That's your local church impacting your local community. But outside of that, we're called to give offerings and to give into good works and to help ministries take the gospel forward, not just with our giving, but with our words and our actions and our deeds. You were born for such a time as this. Let's not see the kingdom of God suffer on our watch because we did not want to respond in faith. That we sat back in this generation and allowed the move of God to pass us by. Father, I pray for every person who's listening and watching right now. Lord, maybe you're stirring something in our hearts. Maybe there's an area where you've called us to be obedient, or you've called us to step out even in the world of business. And, you know, you've been laying on our heart to start the business and we didn't know why. And, you know, we were satisfied where we were, but it's because that business is, you're positioning us in that business so that we can be a blessing to the people we interact with, but we can be a financial blessing into the kingdom of God. Or maybe, you know, we felt a stirring to teach in the public school system, and we've been resistant. But we understand now that you're positioning us, you're placing us. There's a call and a mantle on us, not just to idly sit by, watch life pass us by, but we're positioned to use our voice and to use our resource, to use the call and the purpose of God. to enforce the kingdom of God on earth in our day, in our generation. Brothers and sisters, there will be a day where we all stand before him and we will give an account for what we did with our time on earth. Listen, I'm not against a good Netflix series and relaxing and having some downtime. We are called to Sabbath, right? But when we stand before God, he won't say, well, what did you do? And we'll say, well, God, I laughed at some funny memes while I scrolled through social media. And I had the ability to Netflix and a whole series on a weekend. It was so good. While my neighbors were dying, a generation is lost. A culture is in ruin. Nations are raging. You are responsible for your time on this earth, as am I. Let's step up and utilize it. Let's spearhead a move of God in our day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. I know this is a heavy word on a Tuesday morning. This whole week's been this way, but I believe God's doing something and he's stirring something. I don't care where you're watching from, whether you're on your way to work or you're on your lunch break, or if you're laying at the beach right now, come on, God's stirring something. Let's respond to what he's saying. Let's respond to what he's doing. I do want to say, I mean, if you want to partner with us, text the word partner to 717-500-3575. If you want to sow a financial seed into this ministry, we would be glad to receive it. We are right now looking at some major plays to take this ministry forward. And I don't know how, other than to say, Lord, if this is of you, we believe that you're going to call your people to step up. But that's not the point of today's message. The point of today's message is to live soberly, understanding that we are positioned for impact, positioned to impact our generation. And however God calls you to do it, do it. Just do it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you so much for being on with me today. It's been a blessing. I'll see you back here tomorrow for Good Morning Live at 8 a.m. Be blessed. Remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.